This is a reading from the beginning of the Gospel according to Matthew. A record of the ancestors of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Aram. Aram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asaph. Asaph was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Joram. There will be a quiz. Joram was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amos. Amos was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jeconiah and his brothers. This was at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiud. Abiud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Akim. Akim was the father of Eliud. Eliud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Matan. Matan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. So there were 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 generations from the exile to Babylon to the Christ. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. And for completing that reading, thanks be to God. So I grew up a Protestant with an early teaching about not worshiping ancestors. And I'm guessing it was one of those several lessons that was meant to distinguish us from Roman Catholics, of whom I knew none, who seemed to name and look up to a lot of people other than Jesus. And in my home church, I didn't really understand why I had to listen to long, boring lists of strange names of who begat who, like the list I just read from Matthew's gospel. Now, later I learned that Matthew's author had a purpose, to show his listeners that Jesus was thoroughly Jewish and kingly, and that God was working a plan for good news. A plan so worked out, it had equal generations between major events. This plan included surprising stories and unexpected people. Matthew's audience would have known those names and remembered those stories. So it wasn't as boring to them as it was to me as a kid. And so, with apologies for the excessive focus on patriarchs, let's just say that Matthew knew lineage was important for his storytelling purposes. And I've learned that lineage is also important for the soul's enlivening and the soul's enrichment, for the soul's liberation and loving. And I credit my mentors and teachers, including lovers of myth, teachers of depth psychology, and First Nation people who revere their ancestors for that learning. So, in a few moments, we're going to celebrate a brief ritual of Totenfest. Totenfest is a distinctive practice that grows out of the evangelical church side of the United Church of Christ. It has deep German roots, as does this congregation. Indeed, Totenfest is a German word that means feast of the dead, or you could render it festival of the dead. It was established in 1816 by Prussian Emperor Frederick William III as a day to remember the nation's soldiers who had died recently in the concluded Prussian War. But Totenfest became an important observance in the evangelical church in Prussia founded by that same emperor, as a day to remember not only the war dead, but church members who died in the previous year. Now, we have associated it with the other similar church traditions of All Saints Day and All Souls Day. These are all practices of lineage connection. There is wisdom in this commemoration and connection, food for the soul. And that's what I want to share briefly with you this morning, the importance of that lineage connection for the life of the soul. So let's use our imaginations to touch into this truth of lineage and soul. So I'm invite you just to take a nice, easy, deep breath. Yeah, settle into where you are. You could feel your feet, feel yourself in the pew. And I encourage you to close your eyes and engage your imagination. So imagine your parents standing behind you, mother on the left and father on the right. If you had parents of the same gender or gender nonconforming, just place them where it feels right to you. If you've been adopted, place your birth parents there as well as those who raised you. Just settle in for a moment with that. See how that feels. Imagine gently leaning back into them. Any resistance, any negativity there? Make note. Now imagine the next generation standing similarly behind your parents. Again, note what you feel when the grandparents appear. And so on and so on, continue layering the generations until there is a massive pyramid of people. One generation behind the next, stretching into the horizon in your mind's eye. In this great generational pyramid of people and stories, there is all of humanity. Truth and deceit, courage and cowardice, foolishness and wisdom, triumph and tragedy. It's important for each one of us to come to a kind of peace with our family lineage. Making peace with this lineage and accepting it does not mean condoning its painful parts, the wounding actions and life-denying behaviors of those in it, including our parents. Coming to peace means accepting being human and their being human, and appreciating whatever you can, even if that is only appreciating the gift of life and the chance to have your life now in your time and to make your own choices. Some of those choices may even be to heal the past, which is still impinging on the present. So just pause for a breath. Contemplate this pyramid and note how you feel about it. I invite you to ask for God's grace and peace to be with you and your lineage. Allow this pyramid of family ancestors now to fade into the mist of your mind's eye. And I invite you into a second image, a similar one, but imagine making a lineage pyramid, this time of the saints that inspire you. This is a pyramid of choice. You can fill it up right now with all the saints from all the ages, from your younger life, from any faith tradition, anyone who has inspired you, supported you, a spirit family who can be wind at your back. Place them now behind you in this great pyramid. I could imagine for me Martin Luther King and Joanne Robinson. I can imagine others who stood up for marginalized people and for creation. I can imagine mentors and teachers. Who do you imagine? Who is standing behind you in this great pyramid, this communion of saints? You can make your own spirit family right now and fill it up. And in your mind's eye, you can turn and look back at all these, living or dead, and receive their blessing, the blessing of your saints. And now in your mind's eye, I invite you to turn back around and gently lean back into it and feel its support. Receive that support. Take a deep breath and anchor that in you. At every age, we need it. And now in your mind's eye, look before you and see the younger ones and those yet to come, generation after generation forward, children, nieces and nephews, children of the community and larger world, those yet to come. Know that they are an extension of your lineage in some way, of human lineage, of life's lineage. Send love to them. Pray for them. And commit to act for them and their world. And now take another full and easy breath and gently come back from that space of imagination. I find I'm always most touched by looking forward, seeing my nieces and nephews and their children and the ones yet to come. These lineage images, these prayer journeys are a kind of, indeed, prayer practice that can show us where we can get strength and where wounds persist and need God's grace and healing. When we do that healing work, we can release more love and energy and freedom for our lives right now, right here. Looking forward helps locate where we are and gives us perspective about what's really important. And if in any of this you want to know more about that process, please come talk to me. Or if any of this imaging has brought up difficult and disturbing feelings for you, please come talk to me. We'll work through that. Further, I want to name that being in connection to lineage reminds the soul. It's a good reminder because our culture has so often defaulted to individual power and choice, self-determination that has gone so far as to neglect a deep truth, a deep spiritual truth that we are in a great river of life, not of our making, that we are not in control of. There is much that we do not choose. Spirit chuckles looking at the large pile of plans I had for myself in my life. It's over at the side, just piled up. Spirit is moving in us, around us, and through us in a great lineage of life. And God can move in our lineages of family and faith, even amidst the painful passages. The soul needs a real connection to that great lineage of life, human and beyond human. We are all called by God to cultivate our gratitude for that lineage of life, and to serve its healing and vitality. May we each do so. Amen. And with gratitude, may we enter our ritual of Totenfest.